Does the Constitution guarantee the right to an education? Last week, a federal judge said no. In 2016, 7 students in Michigan sued the government, saying they had a basic right to learn to read and write in school, and that their underfunded inferior education in Detroit had denied them that right. But Judge Stephen Murphy said in his ruling last week that as devastating as the conditions in those Detroit schools are, the Constitution provides no protection for literacy. Not everyone agrees with that interpretation. Derek Black is a professor of law at the University of South Carolina, specializing in education.
The federal district court said there is no right under the federal constitution to literacy. Now, we do have state constitutions in all 50 states that do protect the right to education. So if you went into state court, you could have got a can get a different decision in a lot of states. But at the federal level, there's very limited ability to pursue education rights.
I mean, it's still sort of surprising to me that that's not part. We have the pursuit of happiness, but education doesn't seem to be a part of that.
Yeah, and I think part of it is that the word education doesn't appear in the federal constitution, and I think that's the biggest challenge to get over. How could the constitution protect something if it doesn't mention it? But we had lawsuits back in the 1970s that went all the way to the Supreme Court. The case was San Antonio versus Rodriguez, where, you know, civil rights advocates had tried to argue that basically, the right to education was connected to so many other things like free speech and voting that the constitution implicitly protects it. But the court rejected that idea in San Antonio versus Rodriguez. And so we have these newer cases trying to identify some narrower aspect of education that maybe the Constitution protects, like literacy. Like, how could you function as a citizen if you're not literate? And so people have gone for a narrower right, but this lower court just said no to that as well.
So what is the federal government's role in ensuring that Americans are provided with an education? Is there no role at all? I mean, they have the Department of Education.
Right. Well, the Department of Education is really about spending money and getting things back in exchange for it. So it's kind of like a contract between the federal government and the states. But my research has actually said that there is a federal role in education, and that's that our Constitution does guarantee everyone a Republican form of government in the states. It's actually Congress's job to make sure all states have a Republican form of government. And that's sort of a fancy constitutional term for democracy. But, you know, my research has shown that at the end of the Civil War, when Congress is trying to put our democracy back together and we've got, you know, a couple million slaves in the South who've been denied the right to read, been denied the right to vote, been denied all rights, and for that matter, a lot of poor whites were suffering in terms of education and voting as well, that Congress said, look, Southern states, if you want to become part of this democratic union again, you got to do 3 things. You got to ensure that everyone gets to vote. You got to provide public education to all your citizens, and you have to enact the 14th Amendment. So I argue that from that point forward, what we see is that the federal constitution does require states to provide public education to its citizens.
But going back to the requirement of a public education, what about the quality of that education? We mentioned the DOE is the Department of Education obviously funds certain initiatives. So there is a role that the federal government is playing. And I would ask you, what role is that when it comes to the quality of education, not just the right to be educated, but to have a good education?
Yeah, I mean, I think when we were trying to bring these states back into the union, Congress wanted them to do more than just open the doors and let kids sit around all day. They wanted those kids to be prepared to participate as citizens. And that meant understanding how government functions. That meant critical literacy to understand the debates that were going on in the newspapers and to respond to them and to come out and vote. And so critical literacy was key back then. And I think, you know, as we're in this age of so-called fake news or, you know, lots of differing accounts of the same story on the internet, our kids really need that critical literacy to sort what's true from what's false and to understand government. And unfortunately, our children don't have that in Detroit. They don't have it in most places, to be quite honestly.
I'm curious about what happens now. Can these kids go back and appeal? Is there any way to move this issue forward? Because it just seems to me like it's a little unfair in some ways.
Well, unfair is certainly a good word for it. I mean, you know, the life chances of kids in Detroit are a lot different than kids everywhere else. And the idea that, you know, their legislators won't do anything about it and the courts won't interject is certainly sad. But as to next steps, you know, the next step is an appeal to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, and we'll see what happens there. But I will tell you that the earth has sort of moved in the last 2 years. You know, when that case was first filed in Michigan, and there's a similar one in Connecticut, and there's a third one in Mississippi, I was really quite optimistic, right, back in early 2016, that they might have a fighting shot to have their constitutional rights vindicated. But we've seen the United States Supreme Court grow a little bit more conservative with our previous appointment, and now we've got a new one heading that way. And it's kind of scary for me to think that these kids had a fighting chance, and I'm not sure they do. So, you know, there's a lot more at stake than, you know, abortion and health care. It is the future of the education of all our children, I think, that hangs in the balance of this Supreme Court nominee.
Derek Black is professor of law at the University of South Carolina, specializing in education. Derek, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So what do you think? Should children be guaranteed the right to an education in U.S. schools?
This is Kyle from Orlando, Florida. If the U.S. is going to be competitive and progress with the rest of the world, we need to guarantee the highest levels and most effective methods of education. Otherwise, what's the point?
I have always thought that this is just an automatic yes. They have the right to literacy, and they must be taught how to read and write. Schools should not be allowed to run if they don't teach children the life skills that they need to be productive citizens.
This is Max from Stoughton. A child learning how to read and write is an essential right in our country. A well-educated and informed populace is key to the survival of our democratic republic.
And a listener from Bellevue, Washington sent us this text. Quote, literacy is a privilege, not a right. That being said, it's a privilege that we as a society should support and endeavor to provide to everyone. It benefits the recipient and society as a whole. And what do you think? Is literacy a right? Join the conversation on Twitter. We're at The Takeaway, and I'm at Tanzina Vega. And remember, if you want to add your voice to the conversation, you can sign up to be part of our listener response network. We'll send you a few text messages a week about topics we're discussing on our show. To sign up, just text the word START to 69866. Standard data and messaging rates apply. And you can always text the word STOP to opt out. Again, text START to 69866 to join our listener response network. I'm Tanzina Vega. This is The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by Fracture, creating modern photo decor by printing their customers' photos directly on glass. A Fracture is image, frame, and mount all in one, available in a selection of square and rectangle sizes. Learn more at fracturemead.com/takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.